Good evening, and welcome back to another night of Thorn Bible School. Tonight, I hope to take a good look at what Fibonacci numbers means and what the golden ratio looks like. We're not going to be looking in our Bibles quite as much this evening. We're going to be, I have a handout to give to you soon after I get started and introduce to you what Fibonacci numbers are and what they mean, and give you a little bit of a groundwork before I go into giving the handout. Before we get started, let's pause for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for giving us another night together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. I pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment as we look at ways that we can see you in nature and things all around us. I pray that you would open our eyes because we do not see well. I pray that you would teach us how to see tonight. And Lord, that we could go away with a renewed vision, a renewed energy to see you in the world around us. We know that you created the world in a very orderly fashion. We pray that you would help us to have a deeper appreciation and allow our faith to grow deeper because of that. We pray that you be with the other teachers as they lead out in their classes. Pray that your word would go forth. In your name, amen. So, you might be wondering what the word Fibonacci, how many of you have heard the word Fibonacci before? Okay. About six or seven of you. So, a man by the name of Leonardo of Pisa, also known as Leonardo Bonacci, and later became known as Leonardo Fibonacci. He was an Italian mathematician from the Republic of Pisa, considered to be the most talented Western mathematician of the Middle Ages. And he found something that God created. He found a sequence of numbers that is all around us in nature. And he introduced it, and he wrote about it, and he studied it. And he opened the minds of other scientists and mathematicians of the time, of the era, in order to help them to know what this means and where all it can be found. I first heard about this when I was a student at Faith Builders. I went through the TAP program from 2011, and I graduated in 2013. I had taught school several years before that, and quite a few years after that. No longer in the classroom, and I do miss teaching. At the moment, I feel God called me where he did, and I still have a special place in my heart for teaching. So, back to Fibonacci. The set of numbers that he found are introduced in nature all around us, anything from a flower petal to tree branches, the sequence of which branches branch out from the main trunk, to the numbers that we like to work with, to the shapes of things that we make, anything from houses to vehicles to roadways to business cards. They all have a way of resembling that golden ratio that we're going to be looking at here shortly. So even though we kind of give Fibonacci the credit for discovering it and finding it and writing about it, we really need to give the credit to our Creator. When he created the world, he created it in a very orderly fashion. And that's where the credit really belongs. And the handout that I'm going to be handing out in a minute here is written by a non-religious writer. So you might see traces of evolutionary thinking in it. He uses nature to prove he talks a little bit about it as a way of generically saying where it all came from. Although we know that he obviously was weeding God out of the picture. So if I could have a helper to hand out, I have about 30 copies. I thought the couples could probably share, and I'm hoping that 30 copies reaches around as much as I could. A volunteer to help me hand some out. Okay. I think there's 30 there, but we'll see how far they get. I have an extra, if we're still running short, I have an extra copy up here. So before we get into Fibonacci numbers, I want to quickly introduce to you how the golden sequence and Fibonacci numbers correlate, so that way you're not confused by that. So in order to explain a little bit how what the golden ratio is 1.6 and where that number comes from, and I'll do a little bit more talking before we get into the handout. So the handout is going to talk about the golden ratio, and the handout's going to talk about Fibonacci numbers. The golden ratio is derived by dividing each number of the Fibonacci series by its immediate predecessor. So, and the Fibonacci number sequence goes like this. And it continues on indefinitely. So it's 0, 1, 1, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34. The next number will be 55. And so every time you get the next number, the following number is made up of adding the two numbers before it together. So if you were to add 8 and 13, you get 21. And how did they get 13? They added a 5 and 8 together, and they got 13. How did they get 8? They added 3 and 5 together, and they got 8. How did they get 3? It's 0012. Sometimes some sequences say 0011, referring to two sets of one. Other numbers refer to 01123. So there's two different ways of thinking about it. But either way, the two previous numbers get to the number that we're looking at. And the golden ratio is 1.618. This is the golden ratio. And this here is the Fibonacci number, or Fibonacci number sequence. That gives you the numbers that we're going to be talking about that we see in nature all around us. And the golden ratio is found by dividing each number of the Fibonacci series by its immediate predecessor. So 5 divided by 3 is 1.618. 8 divided by 5 is, how many times does 5 go into 8? 1.618. And I think that holds out. I didn't do the math, but that creates the golden ratio or the golden curve. You can open up your hand. Well, reading the first page of the handout, you should start off with a picture of a sunflower. Actually, if you open up to the second full page. The famous Fibonacci sequence has captivated mathematicians, artists, designers, and scientists for centuries, also known as the golden ratio. Its ubiquity, and we're missing a, well, okay. I think we'll just jump right into the second, actually that front might be a picture of a flower. Moving right into the second page. This is a better way for me to think about this. It started at the second page, not the first page. The first page is a picture of that flower, shows the sequence of the center of the spiral. But we'll start on page 2 for sake of confusing. We talked about the Fibonacci series and golden rule ratio before, but it's worth a quick review. This is an article that I found online that has a lot of good pictures, and that's why I chose this article. And the Fibonacci sequence starts like this: 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, and so on forever. that number does go on and on. You can make it continue until the number is enormous. Each number is a sum of the two numbers that precede it. It's a simple pattern, but it appears to be kind of a built-in numbering system to the cosmos. And it goes on to talk about 14 astounding examples of phi in nature. And I, in order to help us understand this big word, I'll just put it up here. Known as the Fibonacci sequence or Fibonacci series. Leonardo Fibonacci came up with a sequence when calculating the ideal expansion of pairs of rabbits over the course of 1 year. Today, its emergent patterns and ratios, or phi equals 1.61803, and so on and so forth, can be seen from the micro scale to the macro scale and right through to biological systems and inanimate objects. While the golden ratio doesn't count for every structure or pattern in the universe, it's certainly a major player. And I like to, first off, when I tell people about the Fibonacci numbers, most people haven't heard about it, and I see most of you here haven't heard about it. There's only probably about 25, maybe 30% of you have. So then I immediately say, look at the petals on a flower. I said, it will usually be one of the Fibonacci numbers. And it's not always. Some flowers only have four petals. But most flowers around your house will have one of these Fibonacci sequences. And I was talking to Mel this afternoon about it, and I went out in his yard and I picked up a flower and I found a set of three petals on the small flower. I don't have it with me. And then in the center of the flower there was a bunch of little tiny shoots coming up, and I counted all of those and I had come up with eight of the bigger ones, and then I could see a bunch more tiny little ones growing in the center of that. And I couldn't count that, but it looked like it was probably the number 13. Now, I would have to get out a microscope or something very small to zoom in and look very carefully and count it all. But that sequence was, God built that into the flower to show us that he is the creator of those, show him that he is here, he is with us. We can see that it was designed with an intentional purpose, and that intentional purpose is to point you and I back to him. And number one says flower petals. The number of petals in a flower consistently follows the Fibonacci sequence. Famous examples include the lily, which has three petals, buttercups, which have five, and chicories, that's not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly or not, 21, and daisies, 34. Phi appears in petals on account of the ideal packing arrangement as selected by, of course, they're giving the credit to the Darwinian process, of which when Charles Darwin set forth to disprove the Bible, he used a lot of these examples. And what's also interesting is that each of these petals is placed at a 0.618034 per turn, following the best possible exposure to sunlight and other factors. So God designed the petals to have a little bit of a curvature in order to capture a little more sunlight. Moving on to the seed heads, the head of a flower is also subject to Fibonacci processes, or also has a touch of God in it. Typically, seeds are produced at the center and they migrate towards the outside to fill all the space. Sunflowers provide a great example of these spiral patterns. And there we see on the top right, you should be at this page, and the pages aren't numbered, I guess. Top right, you can see that we're talking about the spiral of the seeds in the center of the flower. And here is a little number that says 21, showing you there is 21 rows that migrate in towards the center. In some cases, seed heads are packed tightly. That total number can get quite high, as many as 144 or more. When counting these spirals, the totals tend to match a Fibonacci number. Interestingly, a highly irrational number is required to optimize filling. Phi fits the bill rather nicely. And then number three, we talk about pine cones. And I have some pine cones with me. And when I was teaching school, me and a bunch of my school teacher friends, we bought an old motorhome and we traveled the western states. And we stopped at many national forests along the way, many national parks. This pine cone, I got this one in California or Oregon, and I don't know the name of the tree. And if you're from that area, you might know which tree this comes off of. This one here is a very small, very common one of this area. I'm going to pass these both around, and I'm going to start the one on this side and the other on this side. And when you get them, in the center, there is a spiral. The seeds kind of come to the center in a very short curvature. And we'll talk about that golden ratio spiral. That spiral is also found all throughout nature. This one here, in the center here, we're missing some, but you can already see that it's starting to spiral into the very center. Some of those are missing. I think they probably fell out when it fell off the tree. But this here has a golden ratio spiral, kind of like the shape of a snail. It has a little bit of that curvature, the golden ratio comes out of that, makes up the curvature, which is 1.6, and I'll go on to explain that a little bit later on. Now this large pine cone, if you look at the very top of it, I was trying to figure out which sequence of numbers are evident. It's a little bit hard to know how to count them. But I believe the spiral is there. I'm guessing one of the Fibonacci numbers are on the top of the pine cone. I'll let you look, I'll let you count. The seed pods on a pine cone are arranged in a spiral pattern. Each cone consists of a pair of spirals, each one spiraling upwards in opposing directions. The number of steps will almost always match a pair of consecutive Fibonacci numbers. For example, a 3-5 cone is a cone that meets the back after 3 steps along the left spiral and 5 steps along the right. And if you turn to number 5, it talks about tree branches. Where Jethro and Nina are graciously hosting us. And in preparation for this, I walked into their backyard. I knew I was going to find God everywhere I looked. And I did. He has 2 trees. And I looked at where the trees branched off, and they perfectly matched the Fibonacci sequence number. And Nina has some plants growing, and I counted some of the petals on some of the plants that are growing, and they also matched one of the Fibonacci sequence numbers. Now, they don't. Not every single plant in God's universe matches that, but I'm going to say by far the majority do. Some, God likes to create a little bit of variety, doesn't he? Not everything follows a perfect pattern, but if you know what you're looking for and you walk out into nature, you'll see God's favorite numbers. Instead of calling this Fibonacci, we should call this God's favorite sequence. And you'll find these numbers literally all over the place. So this here tree branch, Jethro has a maple tree and he has another kind of tree growing in his backyard. And they both have like the main trunk split off into one. And then if you follow it up far enough, you'll see that the trunk splits again. Meanwhile, the main trunk splits the second time and splits the third time. And if you look closely, you can see that in a lot of the, especially the maple trees. Oak trees might be a little hard to see because they grow so straight and so tall sometimes. And pine trees might be a little harder to see that sequence. A main trunk will grow until it produces a branch, which creates 2 growth points. Then one of the new stems branches into 2, while the other one lies dormant. This pattern of branching is repeated for each of the new stems. A good example is the sneezewort, which I'm not familiar with. Moving into shells, I have a fossil here that I'm going to be showing you tomorrow. I don't think I have the fossil with me, but it shows a perfect curvature. What the fossil shows, like a seashell embedded into a rock that became rock hard through the heat and the weight of everything pressing down on it. The unique properties of the golden rectangle provide another example. This shape, a rectangle in which the ratio of the sides A and B is equal to the golden mean phi, can result in a nesting process that can be repeated into infinity and which takes on the form of a spiral. It's called the logarithmic spiral, and it bounds in nature. And if you turn over, this here is the golden, this here page where the snail shell is, or the nautilus shell, right above it shows you the perfect curvature, which is found all throughout nature. It's found, the following pages will show you where all it's found. This perfect curvature, each of these blocks, if you look at the very, very center block, you could say that's one. Then you look at the next block, and you could say that's one. And the sum of those two equal this block. The block above it is the block below it times 1.6. And the block beside it is the addition of the previous two blocks. And so you have a curvature that it would continue here, but they generally just stop at this here rectangle. That's generally what when they refer to the perfect curvature or the golden ratio, you will often see just that rectangle to give you the picture of the direction of the curvature, which is the curvature is turning at a rate of ...1.6 of the block before it. So obviously it gets wider because it comes away from the center point. Number 7, spiral galaxies. If you turn over to the page where you see the picture of the hurricane and a picture right above it, there's a picture of a spiral galaxy. The way the several spiral arms, each one of them a logarithmic spiral of about 12 degrees. As an interesting aside, spiral galaxies appear to defy Newtonian physics. As early as 1925, astrologers realized that since the angular speed of rotation of the galactic disk varies from distance from the center, the radial arm should become curved as galaxies rotate. Subsequently, after a few rotations, spiral arms should start to wind around a galaxy, but they don't, hence the so-called winding problem. The stars on the outside, it would seem, move on a velocity higher than expected, a unique trait of the cosmos that helps preserve its shape. So here, down below, is a picture of, I think this is a picture of Hurricane Irene coming into one of the eastern states, I think maybe a Virginia or North Carolina. And this here, that hurricane is spinning in a perfect golden spiral as it's twirling inland. Now, again, not every single hurricane is going to spin in that perfect shape, but they all take on a very, very similar shape to that 1.6. Some of them come out to being maybe closer to 1.7. Some might err on the smaller side and be a little closer to 1.5. But by and large, they favor that golden ratio number of the rate at which they're spinning. And also, I made a note here, I don't have a chicken egg with me, but a chicken egg is also in that same curvature. If you look at this picture, if you were to complete this circle, you would have an egg, something that looks right like a chicken egg. And that is also, from the width to the height of a chicken egg, you would have approximately 1.618. So it's another, even a chicken egg points us to God if we know what we're looking for. And looking over to the picture on the following page, we have a picture of a young lady, and below that we have a picture of a dolphin or some type of orca. I'm not sure what it is. It says, it didn't get copied off with complete sentences. But here's another example of the golden ratio. The mouth and nose are each positioned at golden sections of the distance between the eyes and the mouth and the bottom of the chin. Similar proportions can be seen from the side and even the eye and the ear itself, which follows along a spiral. And it's interesting how human beings consider other human beings to look more attractive than others, or if they consider somebody to be a model, a large population might all agree that somebody looks perfect. And they say, what are they talking about? Well, they're talking about that God-given sequence that they see. And if you see here, you can see the that rectangle is a picture of that 1.6 being used again and again. It's worth noting that every person's body is different, but that averages across populations tend towards phi, or the 1.618 number. It's also been said that more closely our proportions adhere to phi, the more attractive these traits are perceived. And of course, that's a personal opinion based on what people think, but it's also a picture of God. We're created in God's image. And God makes our eyes and our nose and our chin proportional, hence allowing us to look all very closely the same. Regardless what race you're in, regardless which country you're from, you still have that picture of a golden ratio across your face and your nose and your chin. Fingers, if you just take a look at your finger, you have 1, 2, 3, and then there's a bone in your hand, that would be about 5. So your finger can point you to God. You have various, so this here, the finger in your nail, the bone following it is approximately 1.6 of the bone before it. And the bone that goes back to your knuckle is about 1.6 of the bone before that one. So that's another, we're talking about Fibonacci numbers. We're talking about an order being created with an orderly fashion. And these numbers appear again and again and again. Also, I don't know how many of you can see your fingerprint. But your fingerprint, I'll tell you what mine looks like. Mine is one of your thumbs will have a golden curvature to it, most likely. Maybe both of your thumbs will. But this is approximately what mine looks like. So it's not a perfect circle. If you were to take my thumb and make it really big, that's about what you would see. And that is, that has the golden curvature built into it. Just like if you go back to the snail, if you go back to the hurricane twirling in the ocean, or if you were to go, the width. It looks similar to even that of a chicken egg. It's the same 1.6. We're talking about a perfect golden curvature, which is this here number here. You could say it's the width and the height. 1.5 width. Or it's actually not, it's not necessarily that as much as it is the number preceding it. So the golden curvature gets quite large. If you continue that pattern, it gets quite large. And it's no longer perfectly 1.6, but it's the number preceding, it's the box preceding it. And then animal bodies. Looking at the bottom here, there is a picture of, I don't know what it is. I'm going to call it a dolphin. Maybe somebody here knows. But it's just showing you the numbers of the sequence, showing you how the different parts of that animal coincide perfectly with the Fibonacci numbers. Starfish, sand dollars, sea urchins, ants, and honeybees are another. And here it is again in the following picture with the bees and the ants. We see the body of the ant. I think it's a picture of a of an ant or some type of insect. The top of the head being 1, the brain being 2, the middle part of the body being 3, the bigger part or the long skinny part being 5, and the abdomen being probably 8 is my guess. But there again, even in the ant points us to God and has the same set of numbers built in it. I'll just erase this so it's a little less confusing, a little bit easier to read. And then it talks about the honeybees. And again, if you take a look at the honeybee's body, you can see the sequence again. But what's really interesting about the bees is, speaking of honeybees, they follow Fibonacci in a very interesting way. The most profound example is by dividing the number of females in a colony by the number of males. And they go on to say how females outnumber males, always outnumber males, which I'm not a beekeeper. I didn't know this prior to reading this. The answer is typically something very close to 1.618. So even though the bees don't know it, they're implementing God's perfect set of numbers. In addition, the family tree of honeybees also follows the familiar pattern. Males have one parent, a female, whereas females have 2, a female and a male. Thus, when it comes to the family tree, males have 2, 3, 5, and 8 grandparents, great-grandparents, and numbers follow. And turning over to page, I guess it's the last page, there's a bunch of... this is a mathematician's website where this came off of. So this is the last page, talks about animal flight patterns and DNA molecules. This following pages are worthless. They're just advertisements. When a hawk approaches its prey, its sharpest view of that animal or the rabbit or the squirrel or maybe even the fish in the lake is at an angle that is the same as the spiral's pitch. So that's that perfect curvature as to where that hawk can see its prey the best. And if you ever see a hawk or if you saw an eagle come in for a trout or come in for a rabbit, they don't come in on an angle, typically. Typically they come in and they kind of drop almost straight down. And if you're not watching it, you'll miss it, because it might not follow the sequence that you're thinking of something going. It comes in a little bit of a curvature. That's because the hawk or that eagle, that's their best line of vision as they come in for their prey. Which again, that's another example of them pointing, even the eagle and even the hawk as they come in for their lunch points us to God. And last of all, this here article talks about DNA molecules. Even the microscopic realm is not immune to Fibonacci. The DNA molecule measures 34 angstroms long by 21 angstroms wide for each full cycle of its double helix spiral, which I'm not into biology. And maybe we have some science teachers here or science students that are into biology. But DNA molecules have these numbers. 34 and 21 are numbers in the Fibonacci series. And their ratio, 1.619, talking about the DNA molecule, almost perfectly matches 1.618. So, you know, within a very tiny, tiny margin, the DNA molecules match that perfect golden ratio. I don't think the numbers before it don't always hold out to the perfect number. The DNA molecules don't quite, they might be like, for example, they might be 13.5 or 12.5 and then 21, which would make it 1.6 would make it a number. It's a little bit off, but the concept is there, the example is there, the orderliness is there, and thereby we points us right back to God. Now let's just think a little bit more humanly speaking. That golden ratio is made in that perfect rectangular motion or rectangular shape of, now this is not a perfect, but let's say this here was 1, and let's say this here was 1.6. How many things can you think of that are in this here shape? What What's around us that's man-made that's in that shape? Can somebody name? There's just a lot. Can somebody name some? Pardon? A door? Okay. Pardon? A window, yes. There's just a lot. We could talk constantly about this. Any more? Think about what, if you're in an airplane looking down, what do you see? You don't see windows and doors, but you see land, okay? A lot of land plots are divided into chunks like this. If you get out in the western states, they are all in oftentimes 80-acre parcels or 160-acre parcels. They're generally not square. They're generally rectangular, very, very close to 1.6. When you look down, you see houses and barns. Are they square? Are they circular? Or do you think they're rectangle? Well, of course, they're rectangle. Very, very few houses and barns are square. Some are, but most times they're not. Even vehicles, even buses and trucks and cars and toys, they're not square, circular. They're not square. They're generally rectangular in shape. Your sidewalk sections are rectangular. Bricks, blocks are rectangular. Business cards, they're not circular, they're not square. Business cards are rectangular. Why is it that way? Why is it that way? It's because we like that size, don't we? So when you think about even the shingles over here are generally rectangular, and everywhere you look is more rectangular. The shape of this isn't circular, this isn't square, it's rectangle. Why is that? It's because there's something built into each one of us that thinks this is more desirable. It's more, we enjoy working with something rectangle. We don't, even the center of this here pulpit is not square. It's a little bit more rectangular. It's not because people necessarily chose that, but it's because we all kind of agree that that's what we want to work with. And that's because we're created in the image of God. And this is God's favorite numbers. Now, even the bench you're sitting on is more rectangular than square or circular or triangular. That's because the builder has built them with God's favorite numbers in mind. And so when you walk out into creation and you see what man is building, they're thinking about God's favorite numbers. Okay, I am running out of time, but as you will see, these numbers are everywhere. If you walk around the house, and you pick up a plant, even your five fingers on your hand, it's one of God's perfect numbers. We could talk about this for quite a while because it's literally everywhere. And it's interesting to me that even very ungodly people choose and work with. They find it the easiest to work with God's favorite numbers. It's because they're created in His image. That's about all that I have this evening. And there's more. This is just 14 examples. I could talk about, there's a lot more examples that we could talk about, but we don't really need to. You get the point. And it's a matter of training our eyes, training our hearts to have that heart of faith and to be able to, when we see something, what is it to you? Is it just another tree? Is it really? Or is it something that God created with a very intentional purpose? And I challenge you as you walk around in nature to look for God's favorite numbers, and you will find them. You'll find them everywhere. Everything seems to be pointing to God. And until we understand that, we then see that we previously haven't seen very well, or we don't see things well, unless you're looking for it. They say you will find what you're looking for. thank you for your time. That's all that I have this evening. Are there any comments that you would like to make, or anything that maybe some more examples as you begin thinking about it? Maybe you have examples that are good examples of it. Oh, thank you. And the other large pine cone, oh, it's right up there.